I was telling you that I remember someone saying, I will tell everybody about the love and the grace of God. And when necessary, I will use words. Powerful, right? When necessary, I will use words. Let them see. Because sometimes people can tell us, I'm sorry, but your actions do not allow me to hear your words. So it's important. Thank you, Minnie, for this important message. Thank you for coming out today. And once more, congratulations to our happy Father's Day. Right? Did you enjoy, fathers? You had fun? Did something out of the ordinary with your kids? Yes? Many surprises? Oh, good. That's great. I want to do something different tonight because I don't want to be the only one talking or speaking or preaching. I want you to participate as well. What about that? Is that okay? So grab the Bible in front of you or your own Bible. If you don't have your own Bible here, just grab the Bible in front of your pew, and you're going to help me reading some text tonight. Let's study the Word of God, okay? So that way we can be part of a dynamic process, a learning process here. So before we go through the study tonight, let's pray once more. Let's close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for the opportunity to have you as our Heavenly Father. Lord, nobody should look at themselves and feel fatherless, orphan, because we have you who is our eternal Father. In every time of need, we can call your name, and you're right there. Lord, tonight we seek you once more, and we pray that you may come and show us once more how much you love each one of us here. What's your plan for our lives? I pray, O Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. I don't know how many of you have heard about this young man. Well, in 2001, he was 24 years old. His name is Martin Stepanek. Martin Stepanek, he was a Czechoslovakian. And he, on the surface, but he was able to hold his breath for 8 minutes. And 6 seconds. You may think, oh, I can't do that. Let's try now. Let's not try. But he was able to break a record. Because to hold your breath, just of thinking, 8 minutes. 1 minute, I think it's a long time. Just imagine 8 minutes and 6 seconds. So, but not later than that, in September, in the Cayman Islands, he made something even extraordinary. He did a diving, and he broke the world free diving depth record. He went down 295 feet, that's 90 meters, into the waters. But not only that, he made it in 2 minutes and 45 seconds. Amazing, right? But you know this, that today, there are people can stay indefinitely underwater as long as they are connected to oxygen that comes from from a tank, from a source. They can stay as long as they want down there. But they must be connected. That's correct. They must be connected with the source. You know, in the beginning of our existence, in the beginning of humanity, God created us to live eternally. And when He created each one of us, or when He created Adam and Eve, He created them to live how long? Eternally. It's a long, long time, right? Long time. Do you know how long is eternally? Eternity? A student asked his teacher, how long is eternity? So the teacher said, well, just imagine a dove. And this dove comes to the ocean and take one drop of the water away. And let's imagine that passes 1,000 years and this dove comes back and take one more drop away. By the time the ocean is dry, eternity has just begun. It's a long, long time. And that's how long Adam and Eve were created to live. And not only to live eternally, but they were going to live, what kind of quality of life they would have? Abundant. What else? Peaceful. Restful. Perfect. Restful. Joyful. Happy. A happy life. That's what the kind of life they are going to live. Because painless. Sinless. That's the kind of life God wants to give humanity. Oh, they would be Sabbath keepers. For sure. Yes, that would be every week a day of rest. Although they would not be tired as we get tired every Friday as we finish our labor week. But that was the kind of life. No problems. No struggles. No sadness, no depression, no stress, nothing like that. That was the kind of life. Because can you imagine, by God's grace, we don't live eternally after sin. Can you just imagine if we were able to live eternally with a world, in a world full of sin and full of pain, of depression, of stress, of all kinds of trials that we go through, that would not be good for us. So God knew that we would have to have a break. Yes. Death, mortality in the Garden of Eden was zero. But after sin, statistics says that of 100 of a person that is born, what is the percentage that will die? 100%. That's the only assurance we all have when we are born. I don't know if parents think about that, or we as human beings, we don't spend much time thinking about that. Because this is not part of our existence. Well, this is, we are not created to think or to expect that. We always look forward to life. But you know what happened? With sin, we got disconnected from the source. And we now live in a world full of rebellion, full of problems. But we must go and see some promises in the Word of God. And I would like to ask you to open your Bibles in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. And a volunteer, please read it to us. What happened when sin came into the world? What happened? Let's see what the Bible says. Isaiah 59, verse 2. And a volunteer, I would like to read. So with sin, what happened? We were disconnected from the source of life, from the source of happiness, from the source of joy, of peace, of hope. Actually, I have this word here, hope. Beautiful word. But if we don't know the truth, how can we have hope? We must know truth in order to have hope. Otherwise, we would be hopeless. So when we got disconnected from God, we now live in a world of broken relationship. And the first relationship that we broke was God's. Everyone rebelled against God. We also have broken relationship with each other. We always have situations among people. And it's so hard because even in God's house, living among ourselves, sometimes we have some broken relationships even among ourselves. And we have broken relationships with the world. God has been pushed away from the world. People, the last thing they desire is to have a personal relationship with God. And that is awful. That is awful. And the ultimate result of a broken relationship with God is all kinds of addiction, premarital sex, love for money. And that brings a lot of distress, a lot of sadness. But let's go to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. What happens, the ultimate result of this broken relationship with God? What is the result? Romans 6:23. I want you to read just the first part of this text. Who's going to be the volunteer to read for us? For the wages of sin is death. That is the end result. Not only pain, not only unhappiness, not only anxiety, not only depression, not only sickness, but the end result is death. When we are disconnected from the source of life, is death. But at that moment, when Adam and Eve received the news that they had to leave the garden, that they had to be separated from the source of life, there was a good news. There was a solution for this problem. Let's see what the solution is. We find it in Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And someone, please, read it aloud for all of us. Genesis 3:15. Wow. Sometimes we look at this verse and we don't see much hope in there, right? Because it's kind of complicated to understand. But Adam, when Eve heard the Lord pronouncing these words, they were so excited because these words brought them what? Hope. Because they now knew that they made an alliance with death, with the enemy of God, with Satan. But God comes and steps in and say, I will put enmity between you and the one who caused you to fall. I will put enmity between you who is now causing you to feel pain and who will eventually bring death to you. But not only that, this enmity would bring a war against the seed of the woman, And it's said that it is said here that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. And the serpent would what? Bruise his heel. It was talking about someone. And who is the seed? Who is this person? Jesus Christ. So, Adam, that day, he received the news that one day, Jesus Christ, their creator, would step in, would come personally. And he would be the savior of human race. He would be the savior of you and me. He would one day put an end to all that is called evil, to sin. What separates us from God, Satan, one day would be crushed, would be destroyed. But to do that, the Son of God would have to be wounded. He would have to be bitten by the serpent on his heel. And what that means, his own death. He would have to become a human being. He would have to come down and suffer. And he would have to die for each one of us. This is how terrible sin is. That God himself became man. But you know that we think that looking back and we see that Jesus was able to live a life without sin. He was able to win this battle over Satan, and now he's our high priest. But did you know that when Jesus came, he had the possibility to fail? He had the possibility to fall and to fail. And that would cause a universal destruction. But this God, he put everything aside. And for only this small world compared to the whole universe, he came, put everything at risk for you and for me. Because his love was greater, and he came to save us. Jesus is the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb that was slain. He was the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. He was the Lamb that one day will offer the supper of the Lamb. And that is wonderful. Now I want you to go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Look how beautiful it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Someone, please read it aloud. That was the only way that he, God, made him, who? Christ. Who knew no sin to be sin for us. So, in other words, Jesus took my place so I, in order, could take his place. He took my death so I could live his life. That is the kind of love God has for each one of us. That is his plan for each one of us. And he is always willing to save us. Now let's go to Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Let's see How much do we have to pay for our salvation? How much does salvation cost for each one of us? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Someone please read it for us. All right. So we are saved by grace. How much does salvation cost? It's free. Free for whom? For us. It doesn't mean that is, what would be the word? That not free, that is conditional. It's not cheap. It's not it gets value in it. It's free, but not that's a word that I'm looking here that it would explain it better. It's not pay less. No, not without cost. Not without cost. Because it was very expensive. It is free to us. Because someone came and paid the price. Have you ever had the privilege of someone paying the price for you for something? Have you? My wife and I, one day, we were at the line, I think it was at Costco. That was in Canada. And when we got to order our food at Costco, which is not very expensive, right? So we order our food, and I was going to pay with my credit card, and the lady looked at me and say, "We only accept cash." And I didn't have any cash. But the gentleman just behind us stepped in and said, "Don't worry. I got you." And he paid for our food. And what do you think was my immediate response? I was shocked. My wife and I, we were looking at each other. And our second response to that was gratitude. Thank you so much. Thank you very, very much. And what was the third response? How do I pay you? How do I pay you? He said, "Pass it on." We never forgot that. Pass it on. Pass it on. Just pass it on. And we eventually had the opportunity, and we right there remembered, "Whoa, wait a minute. I can now pass it on." And I did. And that happened recently. Another occasion, I was in Costco. I don't know what always happened in Costco. But I was in a Costco that I had to have 25 cents to have a cart. Have you ever seen that you have to? And I was desperately because I didn't have a quarter on me and I couldn't have a cart. And this lady came smiling at me. "You can have my cart." And I said, "I'm sorry, I don't have 25 cents to give you." "No, you don't need to give me." "Really?" "Yes." And she said, "Pass it on." That is wonderful. And that is what grace is. How do I pay? Lord, how do I pay? I can't. It's free. But it's not costless. That was the word. Costless. I think someone said, right? It was not without cost. It cost the life of the Son of Man. You know, Genesis 3:15 is in the Bible the first prophecy. And the prophet who gave that prophecy was God Himself. And He said, "I will come to save you." And it is only by the blood of Jesus, only by the blood of the Lamb, that you and I can once more be reconnected to the source of life. My friend, you can try to buy, you can try to win that, you can try to do all sorts of things. You have heard about the story of Martin Luther. Martin Luther was this person who grew up feeling this heavy weight of guilt. And he wanted to feel somehow safe. He felt so undeserving, so sinful. And he was always afraid. He was always depressed. He was always angry with himself. Because he felt that he was so sinful that he didn't deserve anything. Only God would come and punish him. And one day he was walking, and a storm came with thunder and all kinds of the wind, the water, and he thought that he would die. And he said, "Lord, please save my life. I will give my life to you. I'll give my life to you." And he was saved. But now he became a monk. I think not long ago, Ephraim told this story. He became a monk. But he felt that he had to pay penitences. He had to put his body in painful situations in order to deserve salvation. But then he discovered in the book of Romans that we are saved by grace. By faith, the just shall live by faith. At that moment, peace came to his heart. One day he had a dream. And at that dream, Satan came to him. And he saw Satan right in front of you. And in his hand, in Satan's hand, he saw this long list. And when Martin Luther looked at the list, he noticed that it was his sins, the list of all his sins. And you know, that's what Satan does. He writes down all our sins, and he makes this long, long list. And when we are trying to reconnect to the source of life, he appears and shows us the long list. "Who do you think you are?" Satan said. "Who do you think you are? And now you feel that like a holy person. Now you're happy. Now you feel at peace. Look at this list. Do you recognize this? It's all your sins. You're a sinful person. You're a miserable man. You should be ashamed of yourself." So Martin Luther said, "Well, move a little bit your hand. Just move your hand. Take your hand what is in this list." And Satan didn't want to move his hands. And he said, "In the name of Jesus, I tell you, move your hand." When he said that moment, "In the name of Jesus," Satan disappeared. Because in that place, what Satan's hands were, was written, "The blood of Jesus forgives you. Wash away all your sins." It's only by the blood of Jesus that we can be saved. Adam knew that. Adam knew that. So, I want to see with you. I want to go through a couple more verses here in the Bible to see what we have to do, being so sinful. But what steps do we need to take in order to feel that we are once more connected with the source of life. I want you to find 1 John verse 1. Oh, I'm sorry. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. Let's see the three steps that we must take. He who says, who hates his brother, is in darkness, right? Okay, another passage. Let's see another passage here. Romans, let's go back to Romans. Romans 3:23. What is, now, we all have this problem, right? We always have some relationship problems. If it is not with our biological brother, it could be with our spiritual brothers or spiritual sisters. So the first step that we must take, Romans chapter 3, verse 23. What it says, would you read for me, please, Ryan? For we all have sinned, and we all fall short from the glory of God. The first step that we must take is to acknowledge that. Acknowledge that we all have sinned. Sometimes we find people, no, I am a good person. I pay my taxes. I don't rob anybody. I work full time. I do this. I do that. I'm a good person. I'm not a sinful person. Right? Justification. But the first step is to accept. Sometimes it's hard to accept and say, I'm sorry. It's my fault. I messed up. But second step, what we must do, let's go to Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Acts 16:31. What we need to do? First, we need to accept. What's the second step? Wow, this is amazing. Second step, to believe. We need to believe that in Christ we can be saved. I met once this gentleman, and we were talking and talking. And he expressed that he had his father who would never accept forgiveness because he felt that he had sinned for so long and so much that he would have no more hope for his life. He said, there is no more hope for me. I have done so many evil things. I have been so evil that there is no hope to me. But we must believe on the Lord. And the third, now we go back where Ryan read for us. 1 John 1 9. What it says again, if you can read for me again, 1 John 1 9. Yes. If unrighteousness, if we confess. What is confession? How do we confess? How do we confess? Have you acknowledge? Yes, we have to acknowledge that we have failed someone or God, right? But we have to be very careful here because sometimes we think that we are confessing, but in reality we are justifying ourselves before God. Have you paid attention to that? Sometimes we think that we are confessing to our wives or our husbands or our children or our parents, but actually we're not confessing. We are justifying ourselves. What's the difference between confessing and justifying? Okay. Confessing is admitting. Justifying ourselves is someone else's fault. Yes. Turning away from the truth, from the source. Someone said something here. Oh, very good, Sister Jane. We use excuses. Yes, I did that because you... Yes. Yes. Adam and Eve is a real example that they didn't confess their sins. They were justifying their sins. When they had to confront with their actions before God, what they say? The woman you gave me made me do that. So God goes to the woman and say, why have you done that? Well, the serpent you created made me do that. You see that? Sometimes we come to God and we justify ourselves. Yes, Lord, I did that because my sister, she told me that. I don't like to hear that. So that's why I offended her. So we must confess. Lord, I knew the truth and I didn't do it. I decided to go the other way. I knew that I was going to be kind when my brother told me that, and I should be quiet, but I said it back. I hurt him. I hurt her. We must confess. First step, we must acknowledge. We must accept that we all fall short from the glory of God. But the second step, that we must believe that there is hope. There is a God who is taking the blame. Okay, it is my blame. It is, I am the one who caused you that. I will pay for that. If I caused you, Adam, to eat of the fruit, because I gave you a woman, if I made you sin, Eve, because I created the serpent, I will then take the blame. I will die in your place because I want you to be free. This is the world we live in. For the wages of sin is death. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there, right, Sister Jenny? It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is this. This is what God is saying today. We must, when Satan comes to us, when he shows us that list of sins, when we know that we have accepted, that we have believed, and that we have confessed, we must say to him, move your hand. Move your hand. Move your hand, because right there, in that little space, it says that the Lamb of God died in my place. By the blood of the Lamb, I am forgiven. And through Jesus Christ, I have eternal life. This is what we want to enjoy today. That is how we are going to be reconnected to the source of life, through Jesus Christ. And the Lord is hoping, the Lord is waiting tonight that each one of us here come back to Him. You probably have a relationship already with God from long, long ago. You probably are just as I am, that were born into, we were born in the church. We were raised as Christian, or probably you know the Lord not from long ago. But I want to invite you to look into your own heart and reevaluate what kind of connection you have with the source. What kind of relationship are you developing each day? Are you really connected to the source? Or you just have the name of Christian? Are you really one with Jesus Christ? Or you're just doing the same old stuff over and over again? I pray tonight that you may take that into your heart and make the decision to once more be reconnected with the Lord Jesus. Sister Jenny is going to sing for us. And as she sings, and Lorelei, yes, Sister Jenny and Lorelei will sing for us tonight. And I pray that you may, as they sing, you may look into your life and make that prayer for you and say, Lord, please, come connected with me again.